have a seat if you want. Thank you, worship team. How you guys doing this morning? You all get to listen to me talk today. So before I get started with what the Lord gave me, I just wanted to, as I've been praying, especially this morning before I came up here, I really felt like the Lord wanted to just bless each and every one of you. And just during worship, I was feeling his heart for you guys, not just like as a church, because a lot of times like the Lord blesses bodies of believers, but actually as individuals, as each one of you, the images that he formed and fashioned in your mother's wombs, the people that he created who will live for eternity with him. And I just felt his heart towards each and every one of you, that he sees you and he loves you and he believes in you and he blesses you. And he gave me two scriptures to read over you guys. They're pretty normal, like, blessing scriptures, but they're both hitting me in the head. So I wanted to read these over you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And one thing I want to say that I feel like he's highlighting, I believe there's some people in this room who are facing darkness. Their lives have darkness, and it's a war that the enemy's waging against them. And I just want to speak to that blessing that the Lord's given every single believer. Darkness cannot stand before the Lord. Darkness flees from the light of God's countenance. And so when we turn to him, darkness has no choice but to flee from before him. And so I want you to take that as a promise for your life. If you're facing darkness, if the situations that are coming against you, even things that are in your heart, know that nothing can stand before the Lord. No darkness, no scheme, no plan of the enemy can conquer you. And take that as your salvation, your bread, your life, your sustenance, because that is what it is. And then the other scripture, and I think this one specifically actually goes out to a couple of people in here, so whoever you are. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that is a promise as well. And so take those two scriptures today, no matter what the day holds, but let those be rooted and grounded in your heart, because that is what they are. They are for you, and they are truth, and they aren't going to change. So, anyways. So, the Lord loves you guys a lot. I'm going to probably go up and down a lot, so bear with me, guys. I don't like being up there. But as I was praying last week after Joe had asked me if I would speak this morning, I was asking the Lord what it is that he wanted me to speak on. And he highlighted a conversation that I had with him, so I'm going to kind of clue you guys into this conversation. It might sound kind of weird, but it's okay. For those of you that kind of know me, I'm a very competitive person, always have been. I like to win, and I like to have the best like track record I possibly can in every area. So that's really spilled over into my walk with the Lord a lot, and I've always told the Lord since I got saved, again, about 4.5-5 years ago, that I didn't want to leave the earth a moment too soon because I wanted to have like a track record that rivaled Paul's and everyone else in scripture. Like I wanted to have the best of the best. Like I wanted to have that. And so he couldn't take me until I've like poured my life out completely because, you know, I didn't really want to be on that lower echelon. And it's not really pride. It's just more of like, I just really like to compete. And so the Lord says it's a race. So you race. But I was having a conversation with the Lord, and in the last couple of weeks, my heart has become increasingly dissatisfied with how things are in the world, obviously. And even in my own life and in my own walk with the Lord, I've just become dissatisfied, while at the same time, my heart has been like this yearning to be in heaven and to be with the Lord in a way that I've not really ever experienced before, to the point where I started having those conversations with the Lord of like, I know that you have plans for me here and you have things that you need me to do. However, I'm actually for the first time in my life willing to just cut it short because I want to be with you so badly. Like, I want to love you and be in your presence like Jesus is, like the angels are, like everyone else who's gone before us. And it was actually a really good moment for me because it was just that awakening inside of my heart for that longing, that love sickness to actually be with my bridegroom the way that he wants to be with me. Because he longs for me to be with him in that way. And I just kept having these conversations with the Lord over and over and over of just like, I want so badly to see you in entirety. Like, I don't want the mirror. I don't want the smoke screen of this life. I want so badly to be able to wade through your heart and see all of the invisible attributes that I read about in scripture and that I see declared throughout creation. Because you look at creation and you see glory, you see beauty, you see intelligence, you see honor and integrity and protectiveness and all these things. And I was like, God, I want so bad to be face to face with it. So bad. And I was talking to him and he kind of smiled at me and he poked me and he goes, well, what about your track record? And I was like, what? And he goes, what about your track record, Anna? What is your testimony before the courts of heaven? If I were to just take you right now, how would it look? And I stopped and I was praying. And then I was like, okay, you asked us for a reason, obviously. What are we getting to? And I started asking him, what really matters at the end of the day? Like, what does our track record really look like before you? And what is it supposed to be? Because obviously our salvation is not bought by works. Our standing with the Lord isn't based on what we can do. Like, I can do nothing to make him love me more than he does at this current moment. And I was like, what is my legacy, God? And he pointed very specifically to the first commandment, which is in Deuteronomy. So if you guys want to turn there really fast. Deuteronomy 6. And he's talking to the nation of Israel after he's brought them out of Egypt. And this is one of my favorite passages in scripture. And it goes, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus later in the New Testament references that as the first and the greatest commandment. And so the Lord started pulling at me to actually start paying attention to the first commandment. And he goes, because that's your legacy. When you stand before the courts of heaven on that day, that will be what you take with you. Like, that will be the measure of your life. Like, Jesus in scripture and the Bible talks about how when we stand on that day, we will give account of every word, every thought, every deed. We will give account of everything, and he'll light a match to it and throw it down on our entire trail through our entire lives, and it'll either burn up like chaff or it'll stand refined like gold. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us will have a lot of the chaff. Specifically, yeah, definitely me too. But he was talking, and he said, that will be gold, though. The first commandment is gold. And so that's what I really wanted to focus on a lot today. And we live in a dark world. And this is something, as I've been praying, that the Lord really wanted us to focus on. Like, the world that we live in right now. We have ISIS in the Middle East, and we have their sleeper cells all across the world right now. But more than even them, we have the forces of darkness. And we see laid out through scripture, the book of Revelation, through the prophets and the New Testament, we're reaching the climax. We're reaching the end of this age as we know it, and we will usher in the next. And we know that things are going to get very nasty, but we know that things are going to get very bright. And it's in Matthew 24:10, where the Lord highlighted to me this morning. And it specifically says, if you guys want to go there, you can. There'll be a little bit of Bible hopping today. Sorry. Matthew 24:10. If I can find it. There we go. And in the chapter of Matthew 24, he's talking about the destruction of the temple, and it's also like a foreshadowing of the end times through this chapter, but specifically in, well, we'll go to 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then it talks about false prophets rising up. As many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I felt like what the Lord wanted to remind us of this morning and recharge our hearts about is love. That at the end of the day, love is the most important commodity. It is the most important currency. And it's the most important life bringing thing that any of us can have. And we're living in a world where darkness is abounding. We're living in a world where finances and the things that we've built our lives around, that we've used and we have and the world runs on, are coming to an end. We're living in a world where things are unknown. We don't have the security of knowing how things are going. And I will feel like the Lord wants us to go back to the first commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength, everything within us. And then the second commandment. Jesus said that there were two great commandments. That was the first one. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this morning. And that we would actually today make a choice to realign our hearts with love. Today, to make a choice to plumbline our hearts back to the first commandment, to the second commandment. Because one thing the Lord was talking to me about in the context of all of this is we have all heard that we were all created for this particular time, for this particular purpose, because only us, we, can do what we need to do for this age, if we say yes to the Lord. But we were all created for a reason, for a purpose. And the Lord wanted to apply that with love. Because this world needs love. Love is what combats darkness. Love is what combats everything and breaks the bonds of wickedness. It says in scripture, your loving kindness has made me great. It is because he first loved us that we can love others. That we can love ourselves. And so I really want, if we walk away with nothing else today, that in our own hearts, we make that agreement with the Lord and say, we are going to align with you, God, and we are going to pursue love again and renew that again. Because the world needs each of us to actually function in the entirety of who we are so that we can love the unique way that the Lord created us to love. Because if we will do that, we will make the biggest impact, first and foremost, on the Lord's heart, on our hearts, and then the ones around us. Which leads me to one of the things that I wanted to talk about just for a minute, because this is what really helps me whenever I'm stuck in the rat race, quote unquote, of life, and it's just this constant head down, ducking through things. But I want us to stop for a moment and think about who we are. I said earlier I felt like the Lord wanted to bless each and every one of you as individuals, and I want for a moment for you guys to think about who you are. Think about the body that you have, like the intense detail that's in it. Think about your mind, your will, your emotions, the way that you process, your little tics, how you do things, the way that you look, your heart, your image, because you are going to exist for all of eternity. And you were made in the image of God. I was doing word studies throughout the scripture on what that means. And it means to look like him and to be a representation of, to be a replica. You are a replica of God. You are a replica. You were made in his image. And that's glorious. We look at the animals outside, and I'm an animal lover. I love them so much. But we look at them and they're beautiful. They're crazy. They're colorful. They're exquisite. But they don't touch you. You look at the Grand Canyon. You look at the ocean. You look at the animals in the waters. They don't come close to you. You think about the angels. Like, they're intense. You hear the things that they do. They're powerful. They're glorious. They shine like no other, but they don't touch you. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you don't do this, as you go through your days and you go through your walk and through your life, remember who you are. You're not just a human being stuck on earth trying to make it through your day. You are an image bearer. You are a son and a daughter, which means you have everything that a son and a daughter has. So I just wanted to remind you guys of that, because it's one of the key things that are going to unlock the bride of Christ in this age, in these last days, when she actually catches a glimpse of what it means back when you had Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell, the raw power that they possessed. Jesus says in the New Testament that we will do everything that he did and more. I mean, he walked on water, he controlled the weather, he healed sickness, he cast out diseases or demons. Not only did he cast them out, he told them to be quiet. He controlled their tongues. It wasn't just he kicked them out. He said, be silent. Jesus did all of those things, and we're supposed to do all of them, and not only that, we're supposed to do more. I mean, he floated up into heaven, so I count that in the lapse of, like, we get to do it too. Like, the whole, like, flying thing, who knows? But legitimately, though, we are supposed to do those things. Not because we earn it, not because it's some little box that we unlock and we're able to grab. It's because it's who we are. Through the blood of Christ, we have been made whole. Through the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed to our former glory. Through the blood of Christ, we are sitting with him at the right hand of the Father. So I want you guys to remember that. When the enemy comes against you and is trying to depress you with the darkness of this age, with the things that are going on, remember that it can't touch you. Nothing can stand against the countenance of God. Nothing can penetrate the light and the glory. So remember that. His promises are for us. They're not against us. And we are his sons and daughters. We must remember that. They're tools to combat the enemy. So anyways. When we look at the first commandment, it's something that I really struggled with, and I've been really convicted about as I've been pursuing the Lord's heart for this morning. When we look at the first commandment, it says to love the Lord our God with all that we have. And I know a lot of people, myself included, have stumbled over what that looks like. How do you love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and everything that's within you? And that's a really intense task if you look at it that way. Like, it's all-encompassing in everything that it has. And there are so many different facets and areas that we can do it at. But the one in particular that I felt like the Lord was highlighting, God is the God of love, right? He is the embodiment of love. Love has its definition inside of God. Like, he is, it's expressed in the character of who God is. And I gotta find the actual verses in here. In Matthew 20:25-28, I'm just going to list two verses that I think make the point quite well. In this passage, Zebedee's sons were talking about who will be the greatest and who gets to sit at the right hand of Jesus and all of that stuff. So they're bickering amongst themselves. And then the rest of the disciples were kind of frustrated about it. And were like, oh, really? And Jesus said, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. So hold on to that passage and then go to Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. That's our promise. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, O Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So I wanted to use or point out both of those scriptures and highlight the one that I feel like the Lord wants us to even more so focus on. The Lord counts it as love to him and to others when we serve. And so I feel like he really wants to highlight that, especially in the world climate that we have. It's getting increasingly harder to love the people around us. You have, you know, you listen to different churches from different denominations, and you have one church over here legalizing homosexuality, and you have one church over here who doesn't have a problem with abortion, and they're trying to take care of it, and you have a church over here who's completely rewritten the Bible, and then you have all the other churches who are trying to go according to Scripture, and it's just this bickering fest. It's a war. It's getting hard to even love one another and to actually come close to one another. And then if you look at the people who are like in Baltimore right now, and you look at all of that kind of stuff and the climate going on over there, you look across the world and the nations, it's difficult to serve. It is difficult to love. But this morning, the Lord wants to highlight that we best love him when we do what he did. Jesus said that he only spoke what he heard the Father say, and he only did what he saw the Father do. And it should be the same for us, that we only speak what we hear Jesus say, and we only do what we saw and see Jesus do. And the one thing that can be the best highlight of Jesus's life on this earth and his time here was he served. He served with everything that was in him. When he lived for 30 years in obscurity, he served. Like, he put it down there. He humbled himself. And as glorious as the human body is, under the conditions of the curse, it's not that glorious sometimes. And he clothed himself in it. He held himself to one place. This is the omnipresent God who literally created a universe and clothed himself inside of it, because he existed outside of space. He existed outside of time. It could not contain him. It was created inside of him, and he clothed himself in it to establish us. Jesus lived in humility for the first 30 years. And then the next 3.5 of his life was nothing but servanthood. He went through the day to day serving. When he did dishes, however they did those kind of dishes back then, he served. When he helped cook food, he served. Every person he touched, he served. When he healed, he was serving. When he prayed, how often, myself included, do I walk past people who have crutches? How often do I walk past people in Walmart and the Lord will ding me going, I want you to say something to them? And I don't, because I'm busy. Or because I need to go do something. Or I'm on a mission because I have 20 different schedules. Jesus' entire life was built around servanthood. And they all had hobbies. They all had, occupations that they did to help make living. Some were fishermen. Paul, if we want to look at him, he was a tent maker. And while he served, he made tents. They had jobs. They made ways to create livelihood, and they still oriented their entire lives around servanthood. It's in Matthew, I think it's the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Let me pull it up really fast. This is kind of a newer Bible, so I still have a really bad time finding stuff in here. Anyways, it's somewhere between Matthew 5 and 7 in here where Jesus is talking. No, actually, I bet you it's in John 14. Somewhere. I'll find that in a minute. I got to think it through in my head. But the gist of what Jesus is saying in that verse is that when we do good works, it is in John 15 or 14. I remember that now. Anyways, he's talking about love. And by our love, we will be made known. And through our good works, the Father in heaven will be glorified. When we serve one another, when we do those kind of things, when we orientate our entire lives around the message of the gospel, which is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is the kingdom of heaven. This is the bread and butter of the kingdom of heaven, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as you love yourself. It is the bread and butter of the kingdom of heaven. It is the gospel message. not diminishing Jesus' part, it is Jesus. But when we orientate everything we do around that, when we wake up in the morning and we bless the Lord for the day that we have and we ask him to use us, when we humble ourselves and then we go through work and if he gives us a word, we say it. Or there's trash in the office and we take the trash out or we pick it up or we speak kindness and we speak life to those around us. We build them up. We tell them they're doing a good job as opposed to making sarcastic comments, as opposed to tearing them down. Or when we go through whatever it is that we're doing, whether you're playing sports, baseball, soccer, martial arts, whatever it is, or whether you're going to a recreational thing with friends, when we choose, because it's a choice, to love the Lord with everything that we have by serving, it is our witness. And that's something that the Lord wants to highlight, and I believe it's something that will change the entire end time scheme of the world. I think it was Bob Jones. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he was a prophet here in the Kansas City area, moved around a lot. But I believe he's the one that gave this prophetic word quite some time ago. But the Lord told him, and he said, I think it's Bob Jones. I didn't look it up before he came. But he said, I am going to change the entire expression of Christianity in one generation. And as we've seen, Christianity has undergone a lot of changes in the last couple decades, not a lot of them good by people's interpretation. But that prophecy was a word that came forth from the mouth of God, and his words don't return to him void. And I believe that that is one of the ones that will happen, the Lord is going to do. It's not a personal prophecy. It's a body of Christ-wide prophecy. And I believe that servanthood and the first commandment are going to be two of the biggest things that we will actually see change the entire climate of it. Another woman, her name is Shelley Hunley. Some of you might have heard of her or not. Very prophetic woman. She's one of those people that you listen to her walk with the Lord and you just shake your head because you're like, if the Lord talked to me like that, I think I would probably fracture and cry, because she and the Lord have this really intense relationship where he's very blunt and she takes it. Like she and the Lord know how to talk for her and him. And it's very entertaining to listen to her stories. But a couple years ago, she had an encounter with the Lord. It was actually an angel, and she was in her bedroom and this angel comes in and it was like blinding light, blinding heat, very intimidating being standing in her room, and he had two swords. And this prophetic word is called the turn word, and you can actually listen to it online. But the gist of this prophetic word, where she got stabbed by the angel with these swords, and one of them was the first commandment and the other one was the fear of the Lord. And this angel spoke to her and he said it as a decree. It wasn't just like the Lord's going to do this. It was a decree from the throne of heaven. And he said, I am restoring the first commandment to first place, and I'm bringing back the fear of the Lord. And it's coming as a sword. And that's been one of the prophetic dreams, encounter words that I've always really looked back to, because we haven't seen the complete manifestation of it, but it was a divine decree, and I know it's coming. So I wanted us, now we can switch to 1 Corinthians 13. Everyone's favorite chapter. And yet again, just to summarize, if we walk out of anything, like walk out of here with anything today, I want us to walk out with a heart posture that's going to go back to the Lord and actually ask him, God, how do I serve you well? How do I love you well? Because loving the Lord really does come through servanthood, because it's what Jesus modeled. You don't see a lot of Jesus's prayers to the Father. You don't see a lot of the inner workings of all of that, but you do see what he did. And Jesus was the perfect prototype. He was the perfect man, which means he loved the Lord perfectly with everything in him. And so I want us to walk out of here today knowing that, actually pursuing that with our whole hearts. And the Lord specifically highlighted 1 Corinthians 13 to me to read this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Servanthood is the way that Jesus did things. But we have to remember that servanthood isn't technically love. Servanthood is the action, it's an expression, it's a conduit to actually pour out love, but servanthood in and of itself doesn't equal loving people well. Servanthood in and of itself doesn't equal you love well. So remember that. You can pursue all biblical wisdom and you can know this book inside and out, back in the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, all of it. And you can know everything there is to know. And you can preach every message you could come up with. You could go around the world and the nations and herald the truth. But you've not loved well. You can walk into a church building and you can be so in tune with the Holy Spirit and just nail prophetic words after another. You could give declares, decrees. You could change the entire climate of the world. But that doesn't mean that you have loved well. You can die the most gruesome of deaths as a martyr and you still have the possibility of walking up to the Lord on that day before his throne and have not loved well. So remember that. As we go through, because it's about the heart. It's about the posture inside of us. And more than that, it's about actually catching a glimpse of the Lord's heart. Because love is defined inside of him. It's the knowledge of him that we have to pursue and in that. But one of the things that I love about 1 Corinthians 13 is it gives us practicals. It gives us a way to actually pray through scripture and go, Lord, help me be patient. God, help me be kind so that we can actually do it on a day-to-day basis. If I'm going to love my husband well in conversations, I will be patient. I'm not going to be short-fused and go off. If I'm going to love my friends well, I will be kind to them all of the time. Not just when I feel like it and not just when it feels good. I will be kind because one thing I want to point out, like I was mentioning earlier, we are the image bearers of God. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe that through the blood of Christ, we have been made whole? And that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been restored to the original beauty of what our spirits were meant to be. You guys believe that? Okay. Then each of these things in this list is actually contained inside of our spirits. Because we actually can be those things. And one of the biggest breakthroughs inside of my entire brain after I got saved was, you hear Joe talks about it all the time, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's a lie. Because you're not a sinner anymore. You've been made whole. So all of the things that we do, the curse words, the movies that we have this drive, like an addiction to watch, the games, the way that we talk to people, the way that we process and think. After you get saved and the blood of Jesus Christ washes you clean, which it does, those are now habits. They're not the climate of your soul. They're not the climate of your spirit. Your soul has to be reworked and you have to break those habits. And so this is actually a blessing because we can be patient because it's inside of us and it's who we are because we're now the restored image of God. And so I encourage you guys, as you read through scripture, that you look at it in that lens, not as a checklist that you have to hit. Okay, I got to be kind. I've got to figure out how to make myself be kind all of the time. I've been there, done that. It doesn't work, as I'm sure all of you guys have tried. You don't have to strive to be something you are. When you live in your parents' house, a lot of us have had, there's just so many different climates, but in an ideal, I guess we'll say, home environment, you know that you are your father and your mother's child. You don't have to try and strive to be theirs. You came from their body, well, your mother's body, but the joining of the two of them. Like, you are their biological child. You are their son, and you are their daughter, and that's just who you are. In the blood of Christ, it is just who we are, and we have to make the moment-by-moment choice to let that shine forth. And we have to make that moment-by-moment choice to break the habits, to break the addictions, to break all of the chains. And we have to let them be broken. And I would encourage you guys to continue to let the Lord in and actually ask him to help you. Personal story for how the Lord's actually helped me. Before I gave my life truly back to the Lord, like 5 years ago, I had a horrible mouth. like, used horrible language. Not proud of it. It was so bad. And after I got saved, I could not stop because it's a habit and it's just something that you do. So I started asking the Lord to please help me because I didn't want to do it anymore and I wanted to quit it. So I kept asking, God, please break this habit. Please cleanse me of all of these issues. And the Lord, because he's funny, I was in martial arts and so I did, that's usually where the bad language would come out, especially in sparring matches when somebody kicked me really hard. So it started to turn into this. Anytime something happened and I would get ready to start cursing, the Lord would take over my tongue and I started praying in tongues. Like legitimately, he literally overrode my entire vocabulary. And so anytime I tried to curse, he started having me pray in tongues. And after a couple of weeks, that was what the new habit was. Anytime something happened, I started to pray in tongues. Anytime I got frustrated, instead of cursing, I prayed in tongues. And so within weeks, and I had been trying for weeks to break the habit on my own with no success. If anything, it got worse. But when I actually gave it to the Lord and asked him to please divinely help me because he had to, because he says he'll restore all things, he did. It was a very interesting way. Got a lot of weird looks sometimes because it just came out of my mouth. And they're like, what'd you say? Nothing. But he really will. And I encourage you. You are because it is who you are. These are your inheritance. These attributes are what you have contained inside of you. And if we actually grab scripture, if we would take this word and own it like that, we would change the entire world like one man changed all of Southern Asia or Asia Minor. Paul, he raised it to the ground. Like the man changed everything. And it was one man and Barnabas for half of it. If we would really do what they did, which was just own scripture, we would have it. So anyways, back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's a really big one that I just want to highlight for a second. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. If you want a practical application, those jokes that are like snide and sarcastic and kind of vulgar, love doesn't rejoice in those things. It's changing the entirety of our entire culture and climate. Media that contains iniquity, which is laid out very well in scripture all over the place. Immorality, dishonoring parents, lewdness, drunkenness. Love does not rejoice in those. Love rejoices in the truth. If it is true, we are to rejoice. And that's the first part of that sentence I want to highlight. But the second part is rejoice. And that's something that the Lord highlighted specifically for me to also say, is that there's power in praise and thanksgiving. That we get too serious. That we get too bogged down. And that if we would just praise, like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but at worship services at churches, when the worship actually thanks the Lord for things, when you actually praise him for the things that he's done, or just even who he is, like, if you just don't even worship him for what he's done for you, but you worship him for the glorious magnitude of who he is, the entire room will break open, your entire spirit yields, and it softens, and you start to receive from the Lord as you pour it back out. There is power and thanksgiving and praise. There is power in rejoicing in truth. So really lock into that. If we would rejoice in truth, it would actually override all of the addictions to darkness. Because joy is contagious and joy is addicting. And we will become addicted to light because we are light. We come from light. Darkness cannot stand in the face of light, and darkness will flee. Bear all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And I wanted to highlight those a couple ones again. Love bears all things. We have to remember that. And one thing I want to pull in this passage is if those are all the characters and the characteristics and attributes that we have, they're all the characteristics and attributes that the Lord has. And so when you go before the Lord and your day-to-day walk with the Lord, remember that the Lord is patient. Remember that the Lord is kind. Above all else, he is kind. Remember that the Lord doesn't envy. I love this one. He doesn't get provoked in a bad way. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but he does rejoice in truth. All of those characteristics are who he is, and we have to align them with that. And they will, if we do that and we expect those things from him and we interact with him, it will translate to our own hearts and we will actually be able to do this. The Lord bears all things, which is amazing. There's nothing that will ever break his back, and there will be never be anything that will break ours. If we continue to yield to the Lord, we can bear all things. The Lord believes all things. I love that about the Lord. When he created Adam and Eve, he believed that they would choose the right thing. He really did. He created them expecting them to make the right choice. He knew what they would do. But when it comes to us, the Lord believes in us. He believes that we will choose those things. And we have to do that as well. We have to believe in one another. I have to believe that Jay's heart is to love the Lord with all that he has. And if I treat Jay like that, Jay will be like that. If we believe in one another, it's part of servanthood, and this is part of loving. But if we would believe good things about one another, if we would believe in the invisible attributes that the Lord created each of us with, those things will come to fruition. Those things will manifest. And we will see that hope and we will see that glory. Love also hopes all things and it endures all things. God is the God of hope. It's amazing to me. He's seen everything, but he knows what's coming and he still has perfect, undaunted hope. He also knows that his word will happen and the end of the age will come and he has hope. Love hopes. It does not give in to despair. It does not give in to depression. It does not give in to the darkness in this world. Love hopes in all things, and love endures in all things. We have to cling to those truths, that those are ours, that those are our inheritance and who we are. We can be patient. We can be kind. We cannot be provoked. We cannot be envious of other people. We can actually not look out for our personal image. We can actually not boast in our abilities and be humble and be meek. Every day of our lives is a divinely appointed day. Every moment in our lives is a divinely appointed moment. Like, do you guys believe that? Like, the Lord upholds us. He gives us breath every second. So this morning, before we close, which will happen in just a couple minutes, I want all of us to take a minute and actually think about that concept, that every day is a gift from the Lord, but more than that, it's a divinely appointed day. Every moment is a divinely appointed moment. And at any moment, we can actually change the entire climate of our lives. And at any moment, we can actually change our relationship with the Lord. An example of this, like a week or two ago, I got into this really weird, just like battle with the enemy. And it was stupid because it shouldn't have even happened. Like, I shouldn't have even like given him the time of day, but I did. And so it was like this constant battle against this depression and this darkness and this oppression. And it was actually at church last Sunday. And I was like, God, I'm done, man. Like, this has got to stop. I don't understand. Like, I don't know what's going on. And the Lord was like, stop. I was like, what? He goes, would you just cut it out? Like, quit. I'm like, well, no, you don't understand. I've been struggling with this, like, depression for the last, like, 5 days. And he was like, yeah, you don't understand. Just stop. And I was like, expound, please. And he goes, what about me has changed? I was like, nothing. He goes, am I angry? No. Okay. Like, have my entire character, like, am I different than I was? No, no, you aren't. He's like, so what's changed about you? I was like, no, I don't want to talk about that. And he goes, let's talk about what's changed with you. You believe lies now that you didn't believe 4 days ago. He's, you've let him tarnish your image. You've allowed him to cause you to make agreement with depression that is not your portion. You have no reason to be depressed. There's not anything that's happened. Well, yeah, but God, like, there's all this stuff going on in my life. Stop it, Anna. Stop it. Cling to the rock that is higher. Stand in the knowledge of who I am and trust that I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and just stop. So I was like, fine, I will. So standing over there in that back pew, I was like, God, I repent for giving in to lies and agreeing with lies. And I broke agreement with those lies, covered them in the blood of Jesus, and was like, and I'm now going to stand and believe that you are who you say you are, and I'm just going to stop being dumb. Awesome. And instantly, it was like a cloud broke over me, and I was fine. So, so dumb. So I say that to you guys, though. You can change the entire climate of your life in a moment. If you are struggling with an addiction, if you are struggling with depression, oppression, go back to the rock that is higher. Get your scripture out and actually combat truth with these words and verbalize truth. Repent if you need to repent. Break agreement if you need to break agreement with, and then cling to the knowledge of God. And it's fine. Like, it works. It's great. It's been working for thousands of years. So all of that to say, we, in this moment, this morning, there's probably, what, 40 people in here? Maybe? Somewhere in there? This morning, each and every one of us can actually, inside of our hearts, have an exchange with the Lord where we actually go before him and we recommit to the first and the greatest commandment, the one that measures everything. There is no greater commandment than to love the Lord with everything that we have. This morning, we can go back to that truth. Because if we're not living out the first commandment, we're not living in the Lord's plan for us. Completely. If we actually aren't making that a focus of our lives, we are shortchanging who we are, and we're shortchanging the Lord, technically speaking. Because he's commanded us to walk that out. If we are not loving others as we love ourselves, we're not walking in the Lord's plan for us. I love John 14 or 15, because Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I want to highlight that scripture before we leave, because if love is embodied inside of Jesus Christ, like if he is the fullness of love, like, I mean, the definition of love is found in him. It can be found in us. It can have its truest expression inside of us every moment of every day. If we can look at the way that Jesus lived his life with his love for the Father, Jesus adored God. Oh my goodness, he loved him so much because he knew him and he saw his value and his worth. Oh, he loved God, but he loved us, and he loved us with complete entirety. He loved us at the height of you, what you could do, and he served us. We can do that. And not only can we do that, it's actually something Jesus said to do. If you read the wording, it says a new commandment. And for all of us who have been raised by people, the word commandment doesn't usually have a lot of wiggle room, technically speaking. A commandment is a command. You are supposed to do it, and if you don't, usually there are consequences. Jesus actually commanded us to love like he loves in entirety. So I want us this morning, like you, to actually make that exchange in your heart and actually go, Lord, I want to align with your heart. I want you to revamp and overhaul every area of my life that's not my highest pursuit and my highest aim. I want us to actually make the exchange in our hearts to agree to be servants. To actually go, Jesus, I want to serve like you served because that's the model that you gave us. So many people are like, well, how would Jesus have done this? What would Jesus have done here? How would this work in this, 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 and this? It's very simple. Jesus served. Like his entire life was a service to his people. And so I would like to challenge you guys, just boldly challenging you at this moment, to take this seriously, because I genuinely believe with everything within me that if we would make the first commandment and the second commandment the highest things in our lives, if we would do it, we would actually see the things that we pray for on Wednesday nights, we would actually see these things manifest on the smaller level in our own lives. We would see the waters rise from our ankles to our knees to our hips to above our heads, and before we know it, we would be swimming. In the presence of God, we would be swimming in every gift in heaven. We would be swimming in the raw power that he gave his image bearers on this earth. If we would restore the first commandment to the first place, and if we would love, we would see the end times bride rise up. 40 people are in this room. 40 people could change an entire country. Not to put a burden on anyone, but genuinely, like, no, I'm being serious, though, because scripture says it. God put the burden on us. His yoke is easy, but it's there. 40 people could change the entire country. 40 people could probably change most of the world because we would make disciples and they would just spread it. But it starts with the first commandment. So I'd like to invite all of you guys to stand up. And in closing, if the worship, is Matt still here? No, okay, it's fine then. I'd like to invite you guys to stand up and actually have a conversation with the Lord right now and make that choice. The divine moment is right now, and it'll be the next moment. It'll be the next moment, but you can change the entire climate of your relationship with the Lord. If you don't really have one, it can change right now. If there are mountains in your life that need to be moved, the Lord can move them. If your heart's not aligning with scripture and the things that he's been given, like given to us, it can change right now. And your entire heart can realign in this moment. So I just encourage everyone right now, sift your heart. Actually invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to you right now and highlight things in our hearts. And just speak to him and actually tell him that you want the things that are most important to him. Abba, we come before you today, God. We thank you for your word, Lord, that it has lasted, that it is the same. God, we just thank you for the truth that's held in it. God, we thank you that you are a God of love, that love is your highest priority, that love is your greatest aim. And thank you for loving us well, Father. Lord, we come before you this morning and we just submit our lives to you. Lord, we submit our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions to you, God, this morning. Our bodies to you, Father. Lord, we say we want to align with your word. We say we want to align with your end times plans, God. Your day-to-day plans, which is to love you well. To love you in fullness and to love those around us as you've loved us. So Lord, we submit to that plan today. Lord, we ask that you would come and remove any burdens and obstacles inside of our own hearts, agreements that we've made, lies that we have believed. And we ask for your forgiveness, God, for the shortcomings that we've had when we haven't paid attention. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us this morning. That you would give us fresh eyes, fresh ears, open hearts, And Lord, I just ask that this week you would strengthen us, and the next week, and the next, to love you well, that it would be on the forefronts of our minds. And we just invite Holy Spirit into our lives, God. We give you reign, Holy Spirit, to actually provoke and convict and open doors and opportunities for us to love well. We just thank you, Father, for your truth. We thank you for today, God. And we just ask that your blessing would be on everyone in this room, that as they go through the rest of the day, that you would protect them and keep them, that your face would shine upon them, that your light would drive out darkness, God. We just thank you, Father. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys for coming this morning and listening. Have a good day.